The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
You're listening to the newly rebranded Fire Breslow podcast presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter /X at Smith_MLB. My co-host for this one, Juan Liriano at Juan on MLB. If you want more Bastards of Boston Baseball content, check out bastardsofbostonbaseball.com. Before we get into it, wild series here. Juan, what is your temperature check of this team right now?
As you can see, for those watching on YouTube, I'm all decked out Boston Red Sox gear. I know we stink. I know that we've talked about how angry we've been with ownership and we want them to sell and they're kind of not making up their decisions on what they want to do. But anytime you sweep the New York Yankees, I will celebrate. There's no team in all of sports that I hate more than the New York Yankees. So guess what? I'm high right now, man. I'm on cloud nine. We just swept the Yankees, dude.
Yeah, I mean, Boston Red Sox, they did something they haven't done since August 2nd through the 5th of 2018, when, coincidentally, Sonny Gray was a member of the New York Yankees, and they swept them at home. I don't think anyone had the Red Sox winning even two of these four games at Fenway Park, and it was a hold-your-beer moment. They took not only two, they took the whole thing. So I'm really shocked. Disappointing to say the least, how it ended up working out. Happy with the end result, but again, this is difficult, because with every single win, it's giving this false positive narrative that this team really is going to be able to be competitive towards the playoff picture. And I think that there's going to be another steep downfall, and we're going to sit there with our pants down, and it's going to be tough. But let's get right into it. I mean, like we said, Boston Red Sox take all four. Who's the first person you want to talk about? Who do you want to highlight?
I want to highlight the pitching staff, but specifically Sonny Gray. I mean, there's not much you can say about the guy, right? Like, I know that I think I speak for most Red Sox fans in that we weren't too hyped up about this signing, and he's completely changed my mind. He's been our ace since day one. Should be, I think, is what, 10-1. He's 9-1 now with a sub 3 ERA. Should be 10-1 if not for that blown save in the ninth. But he's been dominant, man. Like, what else can you ask for? Of course, I know that we're gonna talk about the moves that we think should be made by the Boston Red Sox, and Sonny Gray is one of them because he just doesn't fit the future of this team. But I've been really impressed. Not just, of course, with the pitching staff, but specifically with Sonny Gray, man. He's been dealing, dude.
Yeah, on paper, when you look at the numbers don't lie. He's gone 14 1/3 over his last two performances. He's allowed one run, seven hits. The only run was a solo home run. He's given up four walks and struck out 20. It's disappointing to say the least that this guy doesn't have two wins. I would be livid if I'm Sonny Gray right now after pitching my balls off, 7+ innings, no hits allowed, one walk, absolutely shoving in this game. And it was, there's anger and disappointment. Then there's, oh man, false expectations. You're hoping you can get something. Then there's the Boston Red Sox in 2026. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
But can you really be surprised with everything you've seen and what's gone on so far? Sonny Gray should have probably 13 wins right now, 12 minimum. I mean, it's just beyond disappointing how he pitches the way he does, and we can't get the win for him. I mean, it's really, really disappointing. And there were a couple questionable calls here, there. Yankees taking some liberties. Jazz Chisholm not having a really great day. We'll get into that later, I'm sure. He's an absolute clown in New York. But, I mean, this is borderline embarrassing. You can't have a starter go 7+ innings and not get that win when he hasn't allowed a hit. One walk, that's it, and tough. But one walk, seven plus innings, then you give up the hit, they pull you. You probably want to pitch the rest of the game.
Yeah.
But it's not smart. You got to preserve Sonny Gray, especially if you're trying to increase and keep his trade value at the very highest. And let me tell you, man, Sonny Gray is quickly jumping up the line of starting pitchers overall that are going to be available at this deadline. And honestly, over the last two starts, Sonny Gray might actually have more value than Aroldis Chapman, which is insane to me. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, and I think one of the things we talked about before the show is he's not a part of their future. All right, they've been, they're delusional, right? They've convinced themselves, and I speak about the Red Sox front office, that they actually have a chance to compete in this American League. And this American League stinks, right? Like, it's not to say like, oh, you got some really good teams. You don't. I think they're four games out of the third wildcard spot. And they're what, 10, 11 games under 500? That's how bad this American League is. But the problem is, okay, he's not going to be a part of your future. So try to get what you can get out of him, because at this point, you're going to lose him for nothing in the offseason, right? Of course, you know, we always say we don't know what's happening next season, but what if there is baseball next season? What if they do agree on something? And you're going to sit there and say, man, I got nothing for Sonny Gray when he had arguably his best season of his career. So it kind of stinks. And I think one other thing we talked about, of course, I know we're going to touch on Chapman, but you can see how things can go wrong very quickly. You can go from dominating to just kind of losing your touch from one game to another. So if you know this guy's got it, he's dominating, why not pull the trigger now? That's been my biggest fear with Sonny Gray. You have to pull the trigger at this point.
With every ensuing game here, I'm sitting here wondering, what are we doing? But the Boston Red Sox are going to get, you know, like you mentioned, they're going to try to sell the narrative that this team is close to competing again. You lost 2 out of 3 against Colorado. Team, you can't lose 2 out of 3 to. Your closer is part of that reason. We're going to get to him in a second, too. You just swept the New York Yankees. As one of our commenters just said, this sweep does make the loss series to the Rockies look even worse. You're absolutely right here. You got the Yankees at the right time. As they mentioned, there's no Judge, no Stanton, no Max Fried. Boston Randy, thank you so much for the comment. You're absolutely right. Taking words out of our mouths here, but full credit to you for posting it there too. This is a team that needed to dominate. And you can say, oh, well, you know, this player isn't there, this player is not there, this player's not there. There's still an aura around the New York Yankees. They always kind of find a way. There's a little bit of chaos, but Jazz Chisholm is trending the wrong way. Gerrit Cole, you know, not pitching like Gerrit Cole from 5 years ago, thank God. But the New York Yankees didn't look unbeatable. They did look beatable, which is why I thought you have a chance to take two here. You should be able to take two. This team isn't perfect. They're not sexy. And we're definitely not sexy. So this is tough. And every ensuing series after this, because if you lose the next series and Sonny Gray is still there, it's going to hurt even more, because that opportunity that you would have had to trade Sonny Gray, what if he gets shelled at his next start? I hope that doesn't happen, because it's an absolute embarrassing situation if you don't move him after this point, because good Lord, guy's absolutely dealing. As we discussed, 14 to third, one run, 7 hits, 4 walks, 20 strikeouts. What the hell are we doing? He's not a part of the long-term solution. As you so eloquently put it, he's not 26 years old. Add 10 plus some. Like, this is not a part of the future. And no offense to Sonny Gray, we're so appreciative for you this year. He doesn't want to be here. I don't think half the team wants to be here. Half the team should even be here. And half the team doesn't want to be here. That's your 2026 Boston Red Sox right there. This team isn't lovable. They're not truly likable. There's moments of brilliance and just kind of dumb luck that goes our way. But you're up 2-0. Aroldis Chapman's pitching in the ninth inning, and I think we're going to swing into him next. I don't know what's going on in Aroldis Chapman's head. This guy was 14 for 14 in save ops, and four of his last 6 appearances, he's given up at least a run. And we're going to get into another player here, but you know, one of your core members of the outfield should be making mistakes either, and that isn't helping. Aroldis Chapman doesn't seem to need help over the last week. in blowing it up. And he's had two blown saves over his last week's worth of games. You couldn't have blown it at a worse time if you're Aroldis Chapman, because if the Red Sox want to strike while the iron is hot, Sonny Gray and Aroldis Chapman, you got one trending stupid up, and then one's value is starting to go down. Now, Aroldis Chapman had one strikeout in his last performance to today. I believe that ties him with Hoyt Wilhelm's record for most strikeouts for a reliever. I think the Boston Red Sox want to get one more appearance out of him for him to set the record so they can say, we own the record for the most strikeouts with a reliever. And then they got 2,000 strikeouts for Sonny Gray today. I think that was when Jones struck out, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, man, this team continues to just surprise you in all the wrong ways. So it wouldn't surprise me if none of the moves that we need to have happen don't happen. Look at the Chicago White Sox, dude. They went full fire sale. Bye-bye Crochet. Bye-bye this guy. Bye-bye this bat. Doesn't matter. They got a plethora of options, and all of them now seem to be either ready and or are here, and look at where they are now. This is a team that is set up for success, and they went full sell mode. The Boston Red Sox are not doing that, and you can see it. It's going to cost us.
Yeah, listen, we talked about this. Father Time is undefeated. Mentioned this before. He's 38 years old. I mean, he's not getting any younger. You saw what happened against the worst team in Major League Baseball in the Rockies. He blows that game. Then today, I mean, of course, Abreu he dropped that ball, but still he had no control in that inning whatsoever. I was taking notes as I was watching that inning, and I just kept looking at his fastballs. He couldn't throw that first pitch strike. He couldn't control his pitches. You can see Wong trying to slow him down, trying to figure out. Then you see Caballero in second base. He was kind of giving up what kind of pitches he was throwing. So he was throwing the signs to the batters like, hey, he's going to throw the fastball. That's why he's throwing the fastball. He just didn't have it. So if you're seeing this unfold, there has to be a team out there that needs a guy like Chapman, even if he's been struggling for the last week. What the hell are you waiting for? Again, another guy that is not a part of your future. Yes, he's been dominating. He's been arguably the best closer in the game. But again, he's 38 years old. You have to play this smart. You have to, because the more he goes out there and he struggles, the lower his stock gets, and you're not going to get absolutely nothing for him. Throw out a Slayton, a Whitlock to be your closer if you still think that you can compete in this American League. But come on, man. The smart move is to get what you can for these guys. This is the time. And it kind of speaks to the bigger issue with this organization. Time and time again, just making the dumbest decisions, man. And this is a part of it. He looks bad. And with Gray, I mean, Gray already opened the door when he talked about, hey, I'm willing to have a conversation with the Red Sox on being moved. He's kind of telling you, like, hey, you guys stink. I'm having arguably my best year of my career, and you guys are doing this behind me. Yeah, move me. Those are the two guys. You got to do it.
Every day that no decision gets done, I believe now more than ever that every single time we've been told we're linked to an arm, we're linked to this guy, we're linked to that guy, it is all BS. We're linked to a right-handed power bat. We're working to try to get it. What power bat? Where? When? Right? Like Wilson Contreras is your big right-handed bat. And it's crazy. Now, there was the fracas with Wilson Contreras, got up at close. He likes to hug the plate. And, you know, that's annoying. Like, I understand why some pitchers get really upset by something like that. But the fact of the matter is, batters are allowed to do it. I understand why it's frustrating. I can see why people are upset and annoyed by somebody like that. And the jawing, I don't know. He's trying to fire his team up. I get it. Would I have done it? I don't know. But I don't think there's anybody else on this Red Sox team that's going to do it. Wilson Contreras, I would be incredibly shocked if he ends up staying or they extend him or something happens involving Wilson Contreras staying for the foreseeable future. Because if a team is willing to give you top dollar for Wilson Contreras, a team will give you top dollar for Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray on a team like Milwaukee or Atlanta. Atlanta just lost Spencer Strider. So somebody like Sonny Gray to beef up that team, if they're not going to end up getting Scooble, Sonny Gray slots in there, holy crap. Or in Milwaukee behind Mizuruski as your number two, dude, oh my God. And then if they were to get Wilson Contreras as well, I mean, here's the crazy thing. I don't want to trade with Milwaukee. I don't want to do it because it's a flea show whenever we make moves with them. But his brother, if I'm not mistaken, plays there. Maybe the two of them want to get, join forces and whatnot. Milwaukee, you can't trade with. Atlanta, sadly, is another team on my no list. They always find a way to screw you. The Chris Sale one will forever be a trade. I know Chris is going to reference this one. I will never forgive that move. And if this team wants to talk about making dumb moves, look no further than that one. You now have a GM, president of baseball operations, that is afraid to make another move because he's afraid to get fleeced again. Guess what, Craig? You will get fleeced again because you're a moron. You think you're the smartest dude in the room. You're not. And there are 29 other GMs that are salivating, foaming at the mouth, waiting patiently for their opportunity for you to slip up again. It's going to happen.
If you need convincing, you have pitchers. You have an arsenal of guys here that can hold out the fort until Garrett Crochet comes back. You look at what guys like Early did, Peyton Tolley, Jake Bennett against the Yankees. They dominated all three of them. And they've been doing this for weeks now. So it's not like you're coming from a point of view of, man, without Sonny Gray, we won't be able to survive or we won't be able to fight for that third wildcard spot. No, you have a really good pitching staff and your number one guy is not even here. So if you need convincing, that's your evidence for you to say, okay, even if we lose Sonny Gray, we have guys that can hold it down for us until our guy comes back. So let's move him while the stove is hot. Let's throw him out there and see what we can get for him. Because as we said many times, he's not a part of the future. So the smart move here is to move him. On the Contreras side, I have been an advocate of keeping him around because even if, let's say, you're trying to compete in 2027, if you move him, then you're going to have to find a first baseman because Tristan Casas is not. I mean, that ship has sailed. So if you're going to need, you're going to need a first baseman. You still have Contreras, I think, for another 2 years after this. I know he's aging, but he can play great defense. He sparks up this team. I'd rather keep him unless a team comes and blows them out of the water with an offer that you can't resist, which I don't see happening either. So I'd keep him. Sonny Gray and Chapman are the two guys that I hope aren't on this team.
It's so sad. Like you don't want to hope for this team to get worse by making those moves. But I remember when the Boston Red Sox traded, I'm forgetting his name right now. This is so bad. Vasquez. When they traded Vaz to Houston for it was Willier Abreu and, oh my God, the other guy who they thought was going to be the big piece. Crap. Was that Pablo? I can't remember if it was Pablo Reyes. But it was two pieces and Willier was a part of that one. I'm gonna have to check in 2 seconds. But I remember being like really sad that move happened, but it had to happen, right? This is another one of those moves. It has to happen. I'm gonna be sad that it happens, but we need to make it. If you don't make the move and you keep Sonny Gray and you keep Aroldis Chapman, you've essentially lied through your teeth the entire time for everything. I mean, at this point, I don't blame anybody if they're like, I can't watch this team. We can only sit here so many times and say this team sucks, or this team makes bad decisions, or this team does not know, like it looks like it doesn't know, it doesn't look like they know what they're doing. And facts are facts, man. Numbers do not lie. You can't tell me that this team is destined for success and greatness when this is the production that gets put out there. You have a starter that goes out there 7+ no hit innings, and we have to go to extra innings to win the game. That is unacceptable. Unacceptable. I don't care.
I mean, if you wanted to trade him, and I think we both agree that he should be moved, do you think that they should go out there and try to move him for prospects or try to get a key piece to either help them offensively this season and maybe moving forward? What do you think they should do?
I think what's going to happen is you are going to get prospects. The other player, by the way, wasn't Pablo Reyes. It was Emmanuel Valdez and William Brea. That was the second player. You're going to have to get prospects, and you're going to have to get somebody of probably like high status, high tier. You think about Garrett Crochet getting moved in. I'm not going to say Sonny Gray's Garrett Crochet, but they got Chase Madroff. That was one of the big names. They got Kyle Teal. That was another one of the big names. And then there was, Braden Montgomery? It was one of the Montgomerys that's there. I think it's Braden Montgomery. That's a third name that's there. And all three of them now are in the at the major league level. It took a year, you know, like they're here now. So if it means that our prospects that we're getting in place of Sonny Gray aren't ready for next year when there may or may not be a season and they're ready for 2028 because 27 may not be a full year. Okay, sign me up. This ownership team doesn't look like it knows what it's doing anyways. Give them a year to get season and figure it the hell out. And I know season's going to be weird. It may not be a full year. They may not have the time to get ready, and it may not be 2027 because 28 is going to be the first full year back. It might be 2029, but you know what? Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony were supposed to be the chosen ones, and they don't look like they're even the one option at their positions. It's awful. It's so sad. The amount of weight that was put on their shoulders, and I've said this before, I'm sure you have too, it's disgusting. And they weren't able to handle the pressure. It wasn't like these guys were coming in like Alex Rodriguez at 18 years old. Alex Rodriguez was a freak of nature. These guys are not that.
That's the only pushback I'd say I'd have about trading any of these guys for prospects is I don't trust this organization to build these guys up the way that they should. The prime example are the big three, right? Which we don't even have to name. But you look at their production, it hasn't been what we expected. Part of that, of course, is what the organization did to them. They brought them up and put the weight of the entire franchise on them instead of actually bringing in guys that can compete like what they did last season and sort of letting them ease into that role of what they will be going into the future. What they ended up doing was putting all the pressure on these young guys. So I first need to see this organization build a competitive roster. If you're going to go ahead and trade for prospects, the way that you bring these guys up is you essentially have to have the correct core here of veterans and guys that have been there in order for you to be able to compete the way that you want them to and then bring up these guys the way you want to bring them up. That's my only fear.
Fact of the matter is we don't do a very good job with development. I haven't actually looked to see where James Tibbs is as far as MILB stats. I mean, he started the season off like gangbusters. He had like 8 or 9 home runs in the first 11 games. Tibbs right now is 21 home runs in 76 games, 67 runs knocked in. He's hitting .292 with an OPS at .998. 18 doubles, 68 runs. You gave that guy up for a couple of cups of coffee of Dustin May, who almost threw no hitter this year. And I don't think anyone's going to see here saying, oh man, we don't have Dustin May this year because the guy was erratic as hell. I wanted Dustin May to be successful. I really wanted him to be a good guy, but it wasn't the case. It just didn't happen. So yeah, you could have had Tibbs here. Tibbs was not working out in Boston. Get rid of Driveline. Whoever Caleb Durbin is talking to, bring him into AAA. Go send him to Worcester and have him work with every single damn hitter. I don't care if they're against it, if they're being told Driveline's the way. Send them on a boat with a lot of food and tell them, get lost. I'm so over it. And I think a lot of other people are too. How is Caleb Durbin your best hitter? Homie had a two, you know, he knocked in two, stole second and third. He is willing the team to victory.
Yep.
Caleb Durbin. I mean, I didn't have that on my bingo card. I did not have on my bingo card like, oh, please let Caleb Durbin be up next. Please let him be up next. Because my, oh my, at the beginning of the year when he was like, oh, for the season, I was hating the world. Like, how in the world did we do this? We fleeced ourselves again for Kyle Harrison.
The issue, though, like that I have with the team right now, I don't trust that they can do the right thing for these players. Because Durbin is the one example. He went outside of the organization to be able to get back to what works for him. That's a clear sign that what you're doing with these players is not working. Because, of course, look at Meyer and look at Anthony before he got hurt. Wasn't working with them. So let these guys do what works for them, or at least speak to Durbin. Hey, who did you go to? Can we you get us in contact with him to see if he can come in here and try to build this thing with us? We'll hire that organization to be able to help these players, obviously do what we project them to do, because that's what they go by is projections. Bring in these guys to be able to help them. That's the problem. I just don't trust this team from top to bottom to be able to do the right thing for any of these guys. Once you're able to do that, I think Terry had mentioned in conversation with us, just kind of building this thing from the ground up. That's really what's going to help this team moving forward and into the future. It's just breaking this thing down to the ground and building it back up is really what they have to do to be able to see that sustained success moving forward.
Let's shift it. We're going to continue beating up this team because of the same reasons, because they haven't made the right moves. They're making the wrong ones. Some players are coming back. Whoop-de-doo. It's still not a needle mover. Third guy we have to talk about is someone who is a staple in the outfield, someone who I depend on, that you depend on, that the city depends on to actually play elite defense. And today, I really want to call it an outlier. This guy has not been a nightmare defensively, but today, two really big errors. Last year, this guy had, five errors the whole season. This year, he had, I think he's up to six now. So we're halfway through the year. Not good. Not a good look when you are aiding our closer, who is struggling in allowing runs across the, across the plate here, and not for you, against you. This is brutal. Willie Abreu charged with not one, but two errors. I honestly don't remember the last time I saw any outfielder have two errors in the same game. I don't remember the last time I saw any player in the outfield at Fenway Park have two errors in two innings. I could not tell you. I do not know when it was. It was so hard to watch the first one because I sat there thinking, Chapman doesn't have it. It's a tie game now. And sure enough, tie ball game.
Yeah, they're pressing. And I think that when you play with that pressure, right, the offense, I think what the entire night was three hits. Up until that point, I don't know if they had gotten the third hit already, or they had two hits up until that point. So the offense was struggling. On the defensive side and the pitching side, you're kind of playing with that pressure of like, man, I gotta be perfect because offensively we don't have it. That could have played into that situation because it's hard for me to sit here and bash Abreu because between him and Rafaela, they're arguably the two best defensive outfielders in Major League Baseball. You can count on them, even if he's ticked up on the errors for this season. They're still elite defensively. They're gonna save more games, help you win more games than losing. So I'm not gonna crush him too bad because when your offense is struggling as much as it is, you're gonna be pressing on the defensive side. You're gonna wanna be perfect. And I think that's what happened at that point. I won't say the same thing for Chapman, of course, because this is a trend now that we're seeing with Chapman. But with Abreu, that was such an outlier, and it was two of them back to back. I'm like, wait, what's going on? This is Abreu we're talking about. This is not Roman Anthony in left field. This is Abreu we're talking about. But because of the track record, because we know who he is currently, not what, obviously living on what he's done in the past, what he is currently, I'm not going to be too harsh on him because I know that he's still arguably the best defensive right fielder in Major League Baseball.
I'm with you. It just sucks because that coincides with Aroldis Chapman, who's been on the struggle bus and not for, not for a game or two. It's now, you have to look back at it. I'm pretty sure it's four. I'm going to look at it right now. I'm pretty sure that's the fourth game. Yeah. So third game in his last five that he's allowed a run. He'd allowed one run before that entire thing, June 13th and before. only one run allowed. And that was back on April 4th in a game that he took the L against the Padres. He's had two blown saves in his last four appearances. He's allowed six runs in his last, what was it, four innings of work. So not very good. Great that you're still striking guys out and you found the punch out. But I mean, overall, you're looking and you're saying, you know, I would, if I had to look at his numbers right now, 26 start or 26 appearances, three losses, no wins, a 2.19 ERA, 1.26 whip. He's got 32 strikeouts, 12 walks in 24 plus innings. I'd say he's a pretty good reliever. He's still got, you know, his favorite statistic of plus, you know, at least one strikeout per nine. But am I going to shell out top prospects to get you? Not as many as I would if your ERA was 0.5 with no blown saves. So yeah, with every single appearance, every blown game that he's got or any bad start is just a lesser value, deteriorated package that you're going to get in return. And every single game that you continue to pitch Sonny Gray, you run the risk of losing a premier type package. Now, you risked it for a biscuit here, and he ended up going seven plus no hit innings. So you increased his value. I really don't see his value getting any higher unless he shows up next week or next appearance, throws nine innings, allows no runs, and you know throws a no hitter essentially. Otherwise, if you say Sonny Gray is on the block, if you're trying to get Tarik Skubal, I might pivot. I might pivot to get Sonny Gray. It won't cost as much. It'll probably still have the same level of effect, but not the true same, but close enough where the package response or return isn't going to be as crazy. I still think that if Tarik Skubal is going to go anywhere, it's going to be to the Dodgers. I don't see him going anywhere else, which means that Sonny Gray is going to go to the next best team option. That's sadly going to probably be Atlanta. And if Atlanta ends up going to be the guy, Sonny Gray is going to get another eight or nine wins in Atlanta. He will not get the Cy Young because there's too many other guys in the National League. He's a Cy Young name in the American League right now. But man, oh man, dude. I mean, I would have to do a deep think on Atlanta's prospects of who I'd want back here because they're decimated in the starting rotation. And I genuinely do think Atlanta is where he's going to go.
I would prefer him going to the Dodgers. I'm going to tell you, I'm a secret Dodgers fan because I want to root for anything that can prevent the Yankees from winning a World Series. And anytime you're talking about matchups, World Series matchups, if the Yankees are the favorites in the American League, I want the Dodgers there because I don't think the Yankees can beat them. I don't think any team can beat them. So if there's a team I want to trade them to, if they can throw some prospects, you know, you saw what they did when we traded Mookie Betts, right? There were some prospects there that I think could have been part of our future, and we ended up moving them anyways. I think I'd want to go over there. I trust that their farm system is good enough to give us players that can help us going into the future. So I'd be reaching out to the Dodgers right now to see if he interests them. Obviously, to boost their chances of going, you know, back to back to back.
The Dodgers are the best team in baseball, even with the fracas that's happened lately. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the Shohei and Dalton rushing situation. It's kind of laughable at this time. You got a rookie who's been in the majors for a couple of minutes, giving a 9-year, arguably best player in Major League Baseball that we're probably going to see in our generation and your kids' generation and my parents' generation. Like, this guy's an absolute freak of nature. You're going to create waves with that guy. Okay. Great. You're an idiot, Dalton. You're absolutely on fire to start the year, but you haven't done anything since. We have an interesting comment here that I want to bring up. So we're gonna highlight this one specifically from TJ Bull 1370. Real quick, do you think this team could find a bit of a hot streak coming into the break and maybe hop into the wild card race? I'm gonna have you go first before I go into it.
I don't think so. You can't expect the pitching to be this perfect. They've again, as I mentioned before, they've been dominating the last nine start. You can't expect them to continue doing this. If you had a competent front office that can go out there and boost the offense, which I mentioned before, then maybe because we're in such a weak American League, I can trust that, hey, you can trade somebody to bring some firepower to these to this offense, then yeah, of course I think we can compete. I just don't trust him. It's Breslow. He's the one in charge. I'm never going to trust him to make that move. So I don't think they'll be able to make that push.
No.
I hope they prove me wrong. Yeah, I really do hope. But I just don't
for that. Fool's gold. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. Fool's gold. This team is fool's gold. 4-game win streak against the Yankees does not make up for the entire April, May, and almost full month of June that we've had to sit through. It's embarrassing. And honestly, I don't blame the people that say, yeah, you know what? This team, I'm done. F it. You know, I don't want to see it anymore. Done. It's hard being on a show, whether you're a host or a guest or a commenter, and you try to find some positive on a team that has very few highlight moments. And when they do have a highlight moment, they find a way to blow it in a absolute disaster class way. I do not see this team being able to get a hot streak. Even if they did, you win 6 in a row, they'll find a way to lose 8 in a row because that's this team right now. They just don't have a proper level of consistency. New York Yankees, sweeping the New York Yankees. Did anybody see that coming? I don't think anybody in their right mind would have put money on the Boston Red Sox winning 3 out of 4. Zero people would have done that because that is a loser bet. And they swept. They swept. First time in 8 years. No one thought that was going to happen. Nobody.
I don't think this is us being negative. I mean, just last week, they blew 2 games against the worst team in Major League Baseball. Yes, they swept the Yankees, and I'm excited. I'm hyped because I hate the Yankees. But they just did that last week. They can turn around and do it yet again and disappoint us, get us to pick for them and think that they can win 6 out of 8, 6 out of 9, and then they turn around and lose 3 out of 9. They can definitely do that. I want nothing more than to give credit to the team for doing something like what they did this weekend. I want nothing more than to give credit to Craig Breslow for building up the pitching staff with the stuff that I've seen online as well. Like, well, yeah, he built up the pitching staff. That's why he was brought here. No, he was brought here to build up the roster. He is not the GM of just the pitching staff. He's the GM of the entire roster. And he completely ignored half of the roster. So that I wish I can trust that he can figure things out and bring in the right pieces so to help this offense, right, match up with what we've been bringing pitching-wise and defensively. But he hasn't shown anything. He hasn't shown me that I can trust him to build a complete roster. Until he does that, I would love to be proven wrong. I'm one of those guys that, yes, I have no problem being proven wrong. I have no problem saying I was wrong. But he's got to show, and he hasn't done that. So until he does, I'm going to be the guy to say, yeah, I don't trust him. I don't think they can do it.
I'm with you. I think it's fool's gold. It's great when we win. I'm happy that we won. It's sad the way that we won. I'm upset, kind of annoyed at the way that we won. I'm happy that we did win. But the fact of the matter is, there's going to be a couple of series that we're still the cupcake. I don't care what the record in Major League Baseball looks like. We probably jumped 3-4 spots from the second worst team overall to maybe 5th or 6th worst. But you're one ugly series away from being back to the bottom three. You lose 2 out of 3, and those teams at the bottom win 3 out of 3. Guess what? You just slid back down 3 spots, and you're back to being maybe a game and a half out from the bottom of all of Major League Baseball. That's where the team is, and that's where I think the team will end up going, because we just don't have the talent to sustain a level of success. This is our first 4-game win streak of the year. I do not believe we've won 4 in a row all year. We have lost more than 4 in a row multiple times, if I'm not mistaken. We will do it again before we win 4 in a row again. That's just fact. And if we do go on a run of 6 or 7, I'm still not buying into it. I will not do it. I cannot right now, not with the way the team is going. Anything else you want to add before we get into the matchups that we have coming up?
Let's get into the matchups. I'm ready.
All right. So again, Boston Red Sox are able to take the New York Yankees to town at home. I don't know if the Scots are still at Fenway Park willing this team to success, but super thankful that the Red Sox were able to sweep at home. We got a 3-game set with the Washington Nationals coming up. First game, you got Ranger Suarez against Miles Mikolas. Miles Mikolas is not doing really well. Ranger Suarez, we already know what he's capable of doing. So what do you think is going to happen in game one?
I think I trust in Ranger Suarez to go out there and dominate, have one of those stretches where he maybe has 3 or 4 innings of no-hit baseball. My concern right now is with Chapman. if you're at that point where you have the lead, who's going to be your go-to guy? Are you going to rely on Whitlock instead to kind of give a break to Chapman? I think it's going to come down to that. What move do they make? I do think they'll get this game won against the Nats. You have Ranger. You trust them. They'll put up enough runs against this guy that has an ERA over 5. I think they can put up enough runs to get that first win. I don't know about the entire series, but at least this first game with Ranger Suarez out there, I have confidence anytime he goes out there right now.
You have to. You have to have confidence in Ranger. And here's the thing. I'm saying it right now. The Red Sox should have taken 2 out of 4 against the Yankees. We got lucky and we took 2 out of 2. The Red Sox should sweep Washington because of their second and third matchups as well, just based on numbers. Numbers don't lie. People do, right? So you got Ranger Suarez going up against Miles Mikolas, who's been absolute god-awful. The second and third game, you got Conley Early against Cade Cavalli, and then you got Peyton Tolley against, I had to look him up, Andrew Alvarez, who's a reliever moonlighting as a starter. Peyton Tolley, to the credit of our very own Chris Felico, absolutely shoved in his last appearance. I would love to say that he's going to keep doing that. And if he does, holy crap, man. The Red Sox have won maybe 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 3, and we've won 7 in a row. I mean, you're going to think we're all on drugs to say that the Boston Red Sox have won 7 in a row. Could it happen? Sure. Will it happen? I don't know. Because you just mentioned, Aroldis Chapman or a member of your bullpen could find a way to make it exciting. I don't want it to be that, but I know that there's a possibility it could be that. And because of that, I won't be surprised. So I want to win this series. I'd like to think that based on the 3 guys that we have going up against the 3 guys that they've got going up, we should be able to win 2 out of 3. Will we keep the streak going? That'd be adorable. I'd love to say we could win 5 in a row or 6. Do I see it happening? Maybe 5. But I really don't know. I think it's going to go, you know, we should win all 3, but if it goes win-loss-win or win-win-loss, I'm not going to be surprised. I still do feel that based on this team, pitching-wise, we should take 2 out of 3. But to rely specifically on your starters is so incredibly unfair. Why? Because you got starters that go 7-plus innings not allowing a hit, and they still don't get the decision. So depending on Washington's offense, depending on what they do, I think they're going to sneak a game in there. And who knows, man, if they're able to get 2. I mean, I hope Ranger Suarez doesn't get torched. He does have a lot of experience against Washington. As a former member of the Philadelphia Phillies, this is a team of familiarity. They know him and he knows them. So it's definitely going to be interesting. But on paper, I'll say, I mean, he should win 3. But if they win 2 out of 3, I'll be happy. I'm curious what you think for the second and third game.
Agreed there. I mean, again, I have confidence in all 5 guys that are being thrown out there. There's not one guy I don't trust. So you know you're going to be in those games. The biggest concern is our bullpen, which was the best at one point when you had the combination of Slayton, Whitlock, and Chapman. And now there are question marks with the main guy there. So what's going to be the game plan? I am going to be interested in seeing what Chad Tracy does with Chapman in this series, knowing how he's been struggling for the last week. So the pitchers are going to do what they've been doing all season. They're going to pitch well into the 7th and 8th inning. And depending on what the Red Sox do in that 8th inning and 9th inning will determine whether or not they'll be able to win these series. I'm going to try to pick them because I know that every time I pick them, they lose. Every time I pick against them, they go out there and win, a la this weekend. But I'm going to pick them. I think they'll get 2 out of 3. There's going to be one funky game out there where the bullpen might blow it. No, the offense doesn't show up like what they did today. But I'll pick them to win 2 out of 3.
The Boston Red Sox and the Washington Nationals are both 8-7 in the last 15. They've each had streaks of ugly. They've each had streaks of a 4. I'm pretty sure Washington had a 4-game spot in there as well. Yeah, against Seattle and Kansas City. So these teams are very much, you know, kind of at the same trajectory over the last 15. Washington is playing above 500. They are 4th in the AL East. It doesn't help that the Braves are there. It does coincidentally help that the Mets are there. They're a disaster. But yeah, man, I mean, go Red Sox. I don't think there's anything else that I can add other than what we've just discussed. This is up to this team to really show what they've got. And, you know, players are getting opportunities that if this team was properly built, probably never would see the light of day. But now this is their time to shine and their time to show Boston and show Major League Baseball and their fans, yeah, I should be here and I do deserve a spot, because you can't continue to depend on the same 2-3 guys every single game.
Agreed.
Anything else you want to add?
That's about it. Listen, I'm like I told you, I'm on cloud nine. We beat the Yankees 4 in a row. I'm back on, man. I think we're contenders. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. I'm excited about this weekend. Let's see if they can keep the momentum going. That's all I can ask for at this point. Just give me something to hope for. I don't know.
I think this team's going to be able to do that. Hopefully not fool's goldish, but you know, this team is going to be an interesting next couple of series. That is going to do it for your Bastards of Boston Baseball. Thank you again for listening, whether this is your first time or your 100th, to the newly rebranded Fire Breslow podcast presented by your Bastards of Boston Baseball. Again, if you're interested in checking out some daily content, bastardsofbostonbaseball.com is where you can go from Juan and Charlie. It's been a great one. Have a good one. Go Sox.